All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This is the third, or chapter three, in our series on a man as priest in his home. And this really will concentrate on Job's example, Job's practice, his disciplines within the context of his home, which will reveal his character and particularly his spirituality, his devotion to being a man as a priest in his home. I think he serves as a tremendous example for us all as we anchor ourselves to some of these things that he did on a regular basis for his family. I mean, the study of Job, even after he lost everything, is a tremendous testimony of a man's heart and love for God and patient endurance through trials and tribulation. So let's read the first five verses of Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job had said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. And I think that just seeing his care and his passion, his love for his family, and above all of that, his love and dependence on God to watch after his family. Someone once said, and I quote, "Logic is often not enough to convince people of an idea. Warm living examples are a crucial component of moving men and women to a true view of their duty," end quote. We find in the Bible a variety of examples in terms of how we should be, particularly as men. And Paul, Christ, Peter, John, there's characteristics, there's aspects of these men's lives, their faithfulness, their love for God, their desire to serve, their passion for those things that are right, true, pure, and holy. We see many examples in life in general, in our social circles, our families, our workplaces, and society, maybe even in church. There are people that you look up to by way of example to kind of help you along depending on what stage you are in your life. Maybe you're looking for an example in a father or a husband or a leader or a servant or something along those lines. And Job serves that example perfectly here, I believe, in this particular section. And then it even goes beyond that. You might look to people in terms of their trade, what they do, you know, as for work and so forth, or maybe, or even a teacher. And so we're looking at these examples, we glean from them certain things that are applicable to our life and our situation and philosophy and so forth. And those are going to change over the years. They're going to be different things as you change in your life, particularly in a home environment, because there's a lot of changes that do take place in the home. I mean, when you first get married, there's a lot of learning that goes on, a learning curve, a huge learning curve, actually, between the new bride, new husband. And then as time goes on, situations in the home change. You know, when you start to have children, of course, the situation changes. Maybe the job changes. Maybe you buy a home together. So there's a financial thing that's compounded on top of that. And then life changes in general that change the way you view things, change your perspective on things. So as we look through the Bible, we see many great examples in that regard. So Paul, David, even Ruth, and John, and of course here with Job. And we see with Job the certainty of his priesthood. Verse 5 says, "He consecrated his children and offered burnt offerings for them." So by doing this, his children were required to attend the worship that he led in his home. And that took a lot of discipline on the part of Job, and it takes a lot of discipline on the part of the father as he leads in his home the ways of the Lord. So there's an initiative that has to be taken there. There has to be discipline. There has to be consistency. You know, even if it's one day a week, take the time, make it, you know, something that you do every time. Try to have the same time set each week. And then, you know, you might change up some of the material, the content, and the way that it goes. But at the end of the day, there's prayer, there's instruction, and so forth. And it, of course, centers around the Word of God, which it ought to be. We ought to be raising our children in godly homes, and Christ ought to be preeminent in all things, and then we ought to demonstrate that in our own lives. And so we see the circumstances of Job's priesthood. In all likelihood, Job was in existence before Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, and as far as time on earth, Job lived close to 200 years old by comparison to Abraham, who lived to about 175 years old. Job's priesthood then would have been a time preceding the Mosaic priesthood. And then we see Job's family. And it certainly, verse number 2 makes it very clear that Job was part of a very large family, 10 children, a wife, many servants. He was not a priest of a nation, but of a large home. And so with that came a very large responsibility. And leading in a home, regardless of how big the family is, how many children you have, whether it's 1 or 10 or 20, there's a lot of responsibility because that child, children, have been placed in your care, and therefore you have a responsibility to make sure you nurture them in the things of the Lord and point your children in that direction. That's very important as a priest in your home. And then his finances, without a doubt, he was an extremely wealthy man, and that also has a lot of responsibility that goes with it. And when everything kind of fell out on the, you know, with Job, I mean, he suffered some devastating losses on many levels. I mean, not just physically losing his family, but also in terms of his financial situation. Again, Job's reaction to all this is a testament to his faithfulness and his love for God. That's not really why I want to go with here, other than to say this: sometimes things happen in our families, in our lives, that are really kind of earth-shattering. You know, they can be really problematic and challenging, and how we respond to that is going to be in direct proportion to our relationship with God, how strong our relationship is with God, how strong our faith is with God, and whether we've been practicing those spiritual Christian disciplines in our life up to that point. So I think it gets important. It does matter. Your relationship with God does matter. And the strength and resolve to keep that relationship strong and pure and disciplined is going to pay dividends during those times where you may be struggling in your marriage or struggling in life in general. Job lost it all, and he stayed faithful. He did not curse God, and he learned a very important lesson through it all. And then Job also had an important social standing. And so because of Job's social dealings, he had a long reach, and therefore he was regarded as the greatest of the sons of the East. His testimony was well known, and he was certainly well respected, meaning his family would have been well known as well. As far as Job's moral compass, he was blameless and upright. He feared God and turned away from evil. I think that is an important place for us to really anchor ourselves. He was blameless and upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. I think everything else falls into place once we lay claim to these things. He was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. You could put that at the top of the list. He feared God, and then everything else was in subjection to that. He was blameless, upright, and he turned away from evil, all because he feared God. And so what was the character of his priesthood? We see evidence for this in the verses that I read. It was a priesthood that was marked by perseverance. Verses 4 and 5 will highlight that. It was marked by perseverance. This did Job continually. He had consistency in this area and other areas, and this really showed itself or manifested itself in the family's godliness. He allowed for no interruptions or other responsibilities to deter him from his appointed office. it really communicates a tremendous amount to us in how easily, number one, we are distracted by things in life in general, let alone, you know, the little things. Life in general is very distracting. But he allowed for no interruption. This was his time. He was going to do this. He was going to be committed to it. He was going to persevere in this regard. And that's a huge testimony for us to persevere, not to quit, not to cast it aside, not to take it lightly, but to persevere through these times. So he persevered in the good times and he persevered in the bad times. And again, it communicates an important lesson to us all on how we should be as a priest in our home. So there are several things concerning his spiritual perspective, Job's spiritual perspective. Number one, we see with Job that he was determined to lead his family in the worship of the living God. God help us to have more men who are determined to persevere and lead their families in the worship of the living God. Not to quit, not to start and stop, but to continue to lead the family in the worship of the living God. Now, I'm talking about in the context of the home, but I think it's also important to mention that it is important for the husband, the father, the man of the home, to take his family to church as well, to be in the church setting, to be under the preaching of the word, under the word's instruction, to be a part of the praise that goes towards God, and to also serve God, to learn to serve others by serving God, to worship God in the context of a group environment. And a lot of what is taught in the home is a reflection of what's taught in the church. A lot of what is taught in the home reinforces what has been taught in the church. And that's the way it should be. It should be consistency throughout. That's the first thing. Be determined to lead your family in the worship of the living God. Go to church. Make sure you get that on your agenda. If that's not something you're doing on a regular basis, then Sundays, most churches have two services. Make it a point to be at least to one of them. If your schedule is such that you can't get to an evening service, most have two services. Go on a Wednesday night if there's a Wednesday night service. It saddens me to hear many churches are closing the doors on Wednesday night. No midweek service. No Sunday night services. One service. That's on Sunday morning. It's for an hour. Not even a Sunday school. They have a kind of like a fireside chat for a Sunday school rather than having a robust session under the teaching of God's word. And that's why we're losing so many people today. And the church is sort of just kind of hovering there. It's because there's no robust teaching doctrinally speaking. So that needs to happen. And you need to make sure that you're teaching it at home as well. Then the second thing we see is his sense of spiritual responsibility and loving care for the spiritual welfare of his children. So we look at it always in the context of the physical. Make sure we provide their clothing, make sure we provide food, shelter, and an education and protection, obviously, and then we sort of send them on their way. We should have just as much care and attention for their spiritual welfare as well. So a father who does not pray for his children about their spiritual welfare is not doing his job. And I would say start as soon as possible. Be praying for your children, even if they're babies. Pray for them. If they're old and out and doing their own thing, pray for them anyway. You want to make sure you continue to do that. I'm sure Job had many children that were much older and obviously very responsible, as the text points out, and he still prayed for his family. Number three, his suspicion over their sinfulness. He didn't take anything for granted. He didn't take anything for granted. He just said, he just made intercession, prayed intercession, made sacrifices for their sinfulness. He didn't, you know, take little Johnny and say, little Johnny, he's the cream of the crop. He's the best. He wouldn't do anything wrong. No, little Johnny was just as guilty for sin as Sally was. So he didn't spare anything with his children. They're all sinners, all equally guilty, and I'm going to pray for and sacrifice for all of them. And then Job's belief and commitment to the divinely established public means of grace, being obviously in a public setting and praying and the support, obviously, coming from the Lord in that regard. Number five, Job had confidence in those means to meet the needs of his children from a spiritual perspective. And then number six, he assumed his spiritual authority to impose those spiritual means on his children. He had the authority. He was given that authority from God. And you, as the head of the household under Christ, have the authority to impose those spiritual means on your children. The world is remarkable in this regard. They say you're brainwashing your children. You know, you're indoctrinating them. Well, guess what? If you're not indoctrinating your children, somebody else is. That's a reality. Think on that for a moment. The moment you send your children to school, the school is going to indoctrinate them with their stuff. And it ain't good. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not good. So everywhere your children go, where they are exposed to people or to media, i.e. their phones, they're being indoctrinated. You as a parent have been entrusted with that child to make sure that nothing else supersedes what you are teaching them and imposing upon them, spiritually speaking. That's in your corner. Make sure you're feeding them the things of God. And be real with your children. Be real with them. And then Job had an earnest zeal in leadership. And I think that's another part of it, to be earnest as a parent in leading your children in the way that God would have you to lead them. Lead by example. Lead by testimony. Lead by authority, scriptural authority. Lead by the authority of the Holy Spirit. You have been ordained as a leader in your home from God to put these things into practice in your home. So I want to close out with the thought-provoking questions for meditation and application. These have really raised the discussion in our study on Fridays. This is our third week men's study at the church, and I know a number of folks can't make it there to that, so that's why I decided to record these. So the first question is, how often do you lead your family in devotion and worship? That's the first thing. I'm not judging, you know, a person leads once a week. We have ours on Tuesday. Some people do Tuesday or Monday or Thursday or Friday. Some people do it 2-3 times a week, what have you. But the question is, how often do you lead your family in devotion and worship? Number two, in reflecting on your family structure, what are some ways you can improve the way things are done overall, spiritually speaking? How can you change what you do in terms of your prayer life? Do you pray before your meals? Do you have a short devotion? Some folks do a devotion while they're having their meal. Now the children are around the table and everybody's kind of sat down. We've got a lot of young families in the church, and I know that that's the easiest time for them because the kids are really hard to get settled down any other time, and that's perfectly fine. I'm sure at some point they'll transition to another time when the kids are more apt to be able to sit down and contribute a little more. So that's something to think about. What are some ways you can improve the way things are done overall, spiritually speaking? You can include hymn singing. I know we got some folks that like to do that. Some doctrinal teaching, some practical teaching, and some prayer time. And then using Job as an example, can you list four things you admire about him as a leader in his home? What things do you see in Job's leadership, in Job's character, in his spiritual life? What do you see that you admire about him? Write those things down and meditate on those things. And maybe, you know, those are some things that may be missing in your own life, and you can pray the Lord will strengthen those areas in your life, and you'll be better for it, and your family will be better for it. And so that's that for this study. I pray it's a blessing and encouragement to you. I know we've got a number of folks that are listening to these that are outside the membership of the church or what have you. Some people are just interested, and that's fine. It's based on a book, A Man as Priest in His Home by Samuel Waldron, and I just put it together in a format that could teach in a men's study, and it has been received very well, and I'm grateful for great men of God who put together material like this that can be used in a setting to help men become better at being men, men and husbands and fathers that God's called them to be. All right, take care and have a blessed day. Bye now.